Welcome to the Great Lakes Golf Podcast. This is Hunter Pulaski alongside Brad Burkaw. We are brought to you by Reed Furniture. Whatever your furniture need, it is Reed indeed. In this week's episode, the RBC Heritage is in the books with a weather-delayed Monday finish. The Chevron Championship, the first major of the year for the ladies, also took place this past weekend. We have a little bit of Korn Ferry news. Some really good scores from a really young kid on the Korn Ferry Tour. We have the Q at Myrtle Beach, which is a Monday qualifier event for YouTubers and low-level Korn Ferry Tour players, I guess is how I would say it. We will break down those scores. We have some college golf. The Big Ten Championships took place for the ladies this past weekend. Michigan and Michigan State both played very, very well. And also on the boys' side, the boys, Michigan and Michigan State, both played in the Fighting Illini Spring Collegiate. Both also played very well in that event. We will break down that. We had the first GAM event of the year, the Girls GAM Championships. We'll break down the overall as well as the 15 under division, as well as a little bit of U.S. Open qualifying has started, local qualifying. We have two players from Michigan that have played so far, with many more to come. And finally, the Zurich Classic, the only team event on the PGA Tour schedule. But first, Brad, Scottie Scheffler. I wonder if, like, when will we have an episode where we don't talk about Scottie to lead this show? I mean, I have a feeling it'll probably be next. It'll be next episode. Thank God. But this is just getting a little old, isn't it?
You know, we'll still probably talk about him because we'll talk about how he's not playing and how other players have a fighting chance for once.
You know, Meredith is definitely going to birth that child this week. So that is the story over the Zurich Classic.
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, he was talking about it at the Masters. He might have to leave, and here he goes out following weekend and wins another tournament.
Even after the rain delay. There was a I thought there was a chance that maybe it was all going to happen that night and he was going to have to leave early. With the four-shot lead, with three holes to go. But nope, she's still fine. That story was so media-driven. My goodness gracious. This baby may never come. Where is it?
Had to have been media-driven.
But Scottie, it looked like for a moment that Scottie Scheffler was maybe just going to not win this week. Early on, you thought after round one, I think he was down by six shots, and you thought, well, he has won three of the last four events, second in the other event. He just won the Masters. I think it'd be okay for him just to top 10, top 20 this week. But then proceeded to end up winning the event by three shots, kind of just put into cruise control. I don't know how he keeps doing. I don't know how he keeps doing this. The putting has really become, I don't want to say a strength, but his ability he saved par from places that he was making putts that, my goodness, I don't think he ever would have thought about making 6 months ago. I mean, his rise on the putting greens is really sensational.
Yeah, it's. I mean, we talked about it for so long, but it was the missing piece that he needed. Look out.
Well, now to actually, we've talked about it, but once you find your putter, then say goodbye to your irons and your driver. But he has just managed to actually, he's that good where he has managed to keep everything afloat. And it really is very, very special what he's doing. And it's the really weird thing is that we've been kind of conditioned to never, ever compare anybody to Tiger. That's not fair to compare to Tiger, but like, who else are we supposed to compare him to right now? It is like the run that he's on. I saw somebody, Jamie Kennedy, I think from golf.com, did Tiger Woods 2000 schedule with the monetary values for 2024. And I think Tiger would have made $90 million that year. Scottie's already made like $24 million, and he's still got three majors. He still has four designated events, tour championship. I mean, yada. We are we're getting to some territory here. Why? What's to say he doesn't just keep winning? That's the scary thing.
Yeah, there's nothing to point towards him. I mean, everything is so well-rounded. And the big piece is just the putting. Can he continue to putt well? But I'd argue that for a professional, that's the part of their game that once they've got it down, I mean, yes, they'll go through peaks and valleys, but I don't think he will go as low as he was at his lowest point of his putting. I mean, based on what we've seen lately, I could be completely wrong. That's the big question mark that everybody asks is like, how sustainable is it? How long will it last? If he can just keep putting based on how well he's struck his irons for so long, based on every other part of his game that he's done very well for so long, there's nothing to say he's not going to keep going.
Yeah. And the weird thing is, you never really think about it until it's actually here. What LIV Golf has done to the parity of the PGA Tour. You look at guys that are chasing him that you like consistently see. I've consistently seen Ludwig Aubert's name below his, like in the top 10. That is a rookie on the PGA Tour. I consistently have been seeing Wyndham Clark's name, who has made a chore or a habit out of losing to him to finish in second place. Wyndham Clark was ranked 150th in the world just last year. Steve Tagala, the guys chasing him, they don't like. It's not like it's a consistent one guy that looks like he's just about to get over the hump. He's just fighting off anybody that feels like they're going to bring their A game for 1 week, and he is still just dominating him. Really is. And I am
outside of one week, just one missed putt.
What, and that's I think I might have said in the group, but he is like one, just he had one bad round against a PGA Tour journeyman, the David versus Goliath. He misses a 6-footer that, based off of what he's been doing over the last few months, he makes that putt a lot of times, and he would have he very well, very easily could have 5 in a row, and. I don't know why. I guess my question is what we have seen out of Scotty is he wins a lot in the beginning of the year. I don't think he has a win outside of I saw a tweet from a fairly reputable source. He doesn't have a win outside of March, April, May. I don't think he has a win outside of May. March, April, or May. The other 9 months of the year. So I'd be curious to see what happens the rest of the year. I would like to think that he continues to play well. This baby is going to throw things off a little bit, and that's just kind of the way life is. And I'm sure, given how good of an athlete he is, he'll be totally fine. But I'm curious to see how he kind of handles that.
That is interesting. Hasn't won outside May, April, May.
I'm trying to. I can't think of one off the top of my head that he would have won. Couple more stats. I saw that it's been circling on Twitter. Ted Scott has more 2024 earnings than Rory McIlroy so far this year, which got to feel bad for that. That might kind of solidify who's the best player in the world right now. If Scotty's caddy is outpacing Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, that is that you're just getting thrown under the bus at that point. I mean, there's plenty of other people.
Yeah, he's beating too. It is true. They could have picked a lot of other guys, but everyone had to pick Roy.
Yeah.
Just to show how dominant Scottie Scheffler has been. Scottie Scheffler has been first in strokes gained off the tee, first in strokes gained approach, and first in strokes gained around the greens for the last 12 months in all three categories. I know that this is kind of maybe a little bit of a slobber fest, but goodness gracious. I am turning a little bit. I wasn't so for him being dominant, but I kind of am now. I wouldn't mind just see if he just wants to just win everything. We've reached a point now where he's got past me kind of being annoyed by it. Now I'm just like, whoa, he might just keep winning.
Yeah. At this point, I just kind of like, all right, show us what you got.
Yeah.
I've been open. He's not like exactly who I envisioned as the second coming of Tiger or whatever we want to call it. I mean, he's on pace with Roy or Rom or whoever you want to call it. The next coming of whoever wasn't exactly Scotty is who I had in mind, but here we are. So see what you got.
This isn't a flash in the pan, right? It's been long enough now. Cause you still look at his like overall stats. He, outside of top 25s, I think, or maybe it's top 10s, Rory, if you look at first 120 start, which I think Sky just passed at the Masters, Rahm and Rory's careers still look better than his on paper. I don't think it's a flash. I'm just curious if it could be. I don't know if it is, but they also play at different times. I think Rory came into the PGA Tour at a really, really good time to win early. I think there's better players now. Maybe not as much for Rom, but I was curious your thoughts.
Well, we're now entering more of the Tiger Woods generation, you could call it. The kids who played golf because of Tiger Woods and the amount of popularity that he brought to the sport. I think that you have kids now that grow up who focus solely on golf. And like, that's their sport. That's what they do. So the competition has increased tremendously. I think to your point about Rory, he did come in at the tour at a good time. Obviously Tiger going through what he went through, and then there just wasn't really another person that was going to fill the gap. And I kind of feel like that's where Scotty is almost at the moment, is there's no one who's really stepped up quite yet to try to take that throne from him. I think that there's some people who have shown as of late that they might have that ability, but I'd say as of the last two seasons, there hasn't been someone who's really played in a way that is putting their hat in the ring for taking that crown from Scotty.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I just looked it up while we were, while you were talking there. Scotty's wins are in February, March, and April. His latest win, that was just his latest win in the calendar year, was April 22nd.
That is interesting.
Prior to that, it was in 2022, obviously the Masters. So yeah,
that is interesting.
There's a lot more to the golf season than just February, March, and April.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
It is. I mean, he is proving that he can do well in the sprints. So if he just played events in February, March, and April, that's still a pretty good career.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, so running out the rest of that, actually, one more Sky shot, or one more Scotty stat that I kind of chuckled at this morning. He now has two times the amount of wins this season as he does rounds at even par. He has two rounds of even par this season. He has no rounds over par. His last over par round, I think, was the Tour Championship, which wasn't that impressive when we talked about it 2 months ago. But now that he's just continued to play events since then, and he still hasn't shot over par, it's becoming more and more impressive. Especially the Masters was like an impossible golf course.
Yeah.
That weekend, not bad.
He's unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Speaking of unreal, and we have to give Nelly Korda her flowers as well. Scotty won 4 out of 5, but Nelly has now won 5 straight events. She just won her second major championship, the Chevron Championship in Texas. She is now the third player since 1978 to win 5 in a row. Nancy Lopez, joining Nancy Lopez and Annika Sorenstam. We've talked about this now the last couple weeks as she has went on this run. She is not playing this week. I believe she is back the week following for the Founders Cup. But this is, once again, I am there was a moment in time, about a month's period, when Scotty was starting to win, where I was maybe a little bit anti-dominance, but this is awesome. Like, this is really, really good for, you want somebody to chase. And I think Nelly, I've seen more about the LPGA Tour in the last week because of what Nelly is doing than I feel like I would typically see in a week. Far more.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty crazy to watch, and she's almost been overshadowed slightly by what Scotty's been doing. But I saw a tweet that was like, between Scotty and Nelly over the last 10 LPGA and PGA Tour bets combined, they've beat like over 1,000 golfers and have only lost to one, which is like just crazy to think about. But
shout out to Steven Yeager.
Shout out to Steven Yeager for spoiling the party. But yeah, she's just unreal. I mean, she seems like a, so this is kind of no dig to Scotty, but like kind of is a dig at Scotty, but she is a more entertaining personality to root for. I'll say she just has a little bit more livelihood to her, I guess.
Yeah. I think she is. Well, she's 10,000 times more marketable than Scottie Scheffler. And this is coming from a golfer, and I'm like trying to find a way to say this without coming off like almost like mean, but I think golfers are typically very socially awkward. Like I wouldn't say very, but more times than not, golfers, because it's an individual sport, you typically do a lot of it on your own. You're just not going to be in much of a social circle. And Nelly, I mean, just looking at who was on the top of the LPGA Tour over the last 5-6 years, they were bland is going to be the word I'm going to use. That might come off as disrespectful. I don't mean it to be, but Nelly is just like, she is what the LPGA Tour needs. Her doing well, it completely changes the LPGA Tour. She is marketable. Like she can bring people to the TV more so than, and this is no offense to the Asian players, but it's hard to relate or hard to root for an Asian player when they're, especially in the United States, when Nelly Korda is now what she's doing.
Right. I agree.
And then surrounding out that leaderboard, Maha Stark finished in second place. Lauren Conklin finished in T3rd alongside Brooke Henderson. I have to make a comment on Brooke Henderson. I hadn't watched her in maybe about a year. I forgot she gets so far past parallel that the golf club is like about to touch the ground on the other side on her backswing. It's incredible. Very, very long. Very, very long. I saw
long.
Very long driver, very long swing, very long driver, very flexible. So, like I said, congratulations to Nelly. She is off this week. The ladies are not, though. They are playing in the JM Eagle LA Championship presented by Plas Pro. That is in Los Angeles. That is this weekend, the 25th through the 28th. And like I said, Nelly is back in action. I believe that is next week at the Cognizant Founders Cup, which is in New Jersey. All right. So moving on, we have we'll talk about this Korn Ferry. So the Korn Ferry Tour event, which terrible planning by me. I did not grab the name. So let me grab the name of the event really quick.
The Veritex Bank Championship.
No, that's this week, I believe. Oh, so yes. It's the LECOM Suncoast Classic. It might be ELCOM Suncoast Classic. The takeaway, the reason why we were talking about this, Miles Russell, who is 15 years old, he is the number one ranked AJGA player in the country, or actually in the world, rather. He just finished in the top 20. He was the youngest player to ever make a cut on the Korn Ferry Tour. He ended up shooting, I'm pulling up the scores right now. he ended up shooting. I'm trying to figure out what he shot on Sunday.
He shot 66. A 5-under 66. Yep.
So in total, he shot 14 under par. This kid is absolutely sensational. 15 years old, like I said, he has a laundry list of accomplishments already. And to shoot 66 on Sunday to finish in the top 20, that's an auto start the next week, top 25, and the Korn Ferry gets an invite into the following week. So I don't know. You kind of just touched on it. These kids are specializing in a single sport these days and starting at such a young age and dominating. But this kid actually looks like he should be 15 years old. He's not a physical specimen where you think, okay, well, he's years ahead. He looks like he's 15. He only hits it. I want to say his driver goes like 288 yards. But I watched a YouTube video with him and Grant Horvat. He is as advertised.
Like he's lights out, man.
He looks like an absolute robot. He does everything so right. And when he talks, he sounds like he's 35, not 15.
He's very mature.
Oh,
yes.
Very, very mature.
He had 7 birdies in a 10-hole stretch in a Korn Ferry Tour event at the age of 50.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. So that I think that's just important reminder just to stay in school, kids. When I was 15, I was still a junior in high school at 15. So sophomore year, I guess, would have been when I was mostly 15. You're older for the grade.
Yeah.
So you would have been 15 sophomore year, or almost right when
sophomore year I turned 16. So
you were so
15.
Old. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, because I turned 16 my junior year of high school.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was takeaway from that Korn Ferry event. So we'll see Miles. We will see him for years to come, I'm sure of it. Moving on to which was advertised as the Q at Myrtle Beach leaderboard. Very, very cool idea, very innovative, I think. So the idea was a new event on the PGA Tour schedule, an alternate event to the Wells Fargo in Myrtle Beach. So what they did is they did 8 content creators and 8 Korn Ferry, I would say lower level Korn Ferry guys or mini tour guys for one spot in this PGA Tour event coming up here in a few weeks. And the video dropped yesterday at 1 p.m. It was Matt Akins. Ended up winning the event at 300 par in a playoff against George Bryan. We both watched it. Brad brought it up. What were your thoughts on the whole event? I think we differed a little bit.
So, I mean, I didn't hate it. I thought it was, I could not wait long enough for them to get through all the intros at the beginning. That was very annoying. I don't think that was needed. I thought that the video production they had on the shots wasn't terrible. There were a few where they hit it and there wasn't really much of a tracer and there was no shot onto the green, so you didn't really have an idea of where it was going. I think a component of that, to play devil's advocate, is probably also have to remind ourselves that these guys are not professionals, so there's a very good chance that they probably just shanked the ball. But I will say, you mentioned it, and I didn't really think about it, mainly because I probably was watching it late at night in bed. There was not a lot of commentary, them letting you know really what's going on. My other one grief, I guess now that I'm thinking about it, I didn't bring this up in the intro, but when they'd show the leaderboard, they didn't show the full leaderboard. They just showed a portion of it, and I figured, I mean, you only have 16 guys, so is it that hard to show the full thing instead of like the top 8 or whatever they were showing? But I don't know. It was a nice spice. I would say I would rather watch that than like the Capital One match.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a lot of time and a place for a lack of commentary. I think if the shots are good enough and the production is quick enough, I think no commentary and just golf shots can play. I told Brad in the intro, I turned it on and I just saw one. They always show you one comment in the YouTube video, and I saw that one comment, and it was just hounding the production. So I went and clicked on that comment and just started reading all of them. And the YouTube comment section did not like not having commentary. They wanted commentary, and then the lack of knowing where everyone was an issue, a little bit of an issue. I think kind of the main takeaway I had was that the idea was great, and I think this will be something that they do more of. Just because I think, unfortunately for the queue at Myrtle Beach, they probably would have gotten more people. I think the idea was you let one of these YouTubers hopefully win, and then they bring in potential people to watch the event. Matt Atkins might not be the guy that does that, but that's okay. He's a journeyman on the Korn Ferry. He has one Korn Ferry win. I think it was in 2017. So I think George Bryan might have brought a little bit more pizzazz to the event. And then even more so, Tyler Watts, who finished in third place, solo third place at 1 under par. He is 15 years old as well. So big weekend for 15-year-olds. He just won the Alabama State Amateur, the youngest to ever win that, and he replaced Gordon Sargent. So that's another kid that if he would have won, I think people would have gotten out of bed to come watch him play. But overall, I think it was a great idea. Well, and I'm curious to see if they do it again, where they improve.
Yeah, I think obviously with it being the first one, I would imagine if they do it in the future, they'll probably get a better selection of players. There are a few guys. There are a few of them out there that were pretty, I don't want to say unbearable to watch, but like just not exactly a person or personality that I care to, I guess, watch on TV. I would not want to be partnered with some of those guys. You definitely heard a lot more from the players. You had a lot of audio from the players more so than you did like commentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I didn't want to do this, but I feel obligated to. Michael Morris shooting 86. That's a high number. And I'm actually really surprised. Cole Lance is 100% reverse sandbagging his handicap if he is a zero.
He started out like he birdied the first hole. He stuck it to like 4 feet.
Did he?
And yeah, he was like under par through at least the first couple. I didn't finish the whole thing. I probably only got through 9 or 10, but he must have really blown up on the back. But yeah, Micah, man, he just second hole just yanked one out OB right off the get go. An easy par five. Most of the guys birdied or par, and he was, I think he doubled or tripled it. Which I don't know. I think it's kind of funny, but you know, that's just me.
Yeah, exactly. But I actually thought there were some good scores. I think Dan Rappaport, I was surprised by only 4 over. I was surprised to see Luke Kwan at 6 under, 6 over. I was expecting him to play a lot better than that. I honestly expected Grant Horvat to play better than 79.
I was surprised by Grant's score for sure.
All right, moving on to some college golf. Big Ten Championships for the women took place this past weekend. Some very, very good scores for both the Michigan State and Michigan. Monet Chun ended up winning the medalist honors in the second playoff hole, 73-66-70. For a 7 under par, and Michigan State ended up finishing second place at 857. They blew it a little bit on the final round. They went into the final round leading Indiana by 11. Indiana went out and shot a 283 to Michigan State's 295. They ended up winning by one at 856. Michigan finishes at 864. Some additional individual scores for both Michigan and Michigan State. Haley Borgia finished at 2 under par, which was good for T7th, 71, 73, 70. Sydney Yermish finished in T40th, 78, 73, 73. Mara Janes finished at T45, 71, 75, 79. Laura Sung finished at T49, 73, 78, 76. And Sydney Sung finished T55, 74, 79, 76. For Michigan State, Katie Liu was the bright spot. She finished in sixth place, 70th, 68, 74. Paula Balazuke finished in T7th, 67, 72, 75. Layla Raines finished T14th, 71, 72, 73. Valentina Rossi finished T17th, 71, 72, 74. Brooke Bierman finished 36, 75, 71, 76. And Shannon Kennedy finished T40th, 78, 72, 74. The all Big Ten championship team ended up being Monet Chun, Caroline Craig from Indiana, Isabella McCauley from Minnesota, Caroline Smith from Indiana, Laura Nagane from Northwestern, and Katie Liu from Michigan State. The selection show for the women's regionals takes place tomorrow, April 24th. Michigan State is hosting a regional that is at Forest Acres West. Both Michigan State and Michigan should be in the regionals. I'm not 100% sure on Michigan State's ranking, but Michigan is ranked 34th, I think, in the country right now. So both should be in. Moving on to the men, who were both playing in the Fighting Illini Spring Collegiate. Michigan State finished in second place, while Michigan finished in third place. Michigan State shot 22 over par. Michigan shot 29 over par. Ashton McCullough led the way for the Spartans finishing in second place, 74, 69, 70. August Mikoff finished T10th alongside Bradley Smithson. August shot 76, 73, 69. Bradley shot 74, 72, 72. Lucas Esverdo shot 75, 76, 74, good for T32. And Drew Hackett in 45th, 79, 77, 75. Hunter Thomas finished in T3rd for the Wolverines, 73, 69, 72. Ben Hoagland was T12th, 74, 73, 73. Will Anderson was T22, 76, 74, 73. Yugi Liu was T26, 74, 76, 74. And Jude Kim was T46, 80, 76, 76. All right. A little bit more locals golf here, and then we'll move on to the Zurich Classic. The Girls GAM Championship took place this past week. Elena Lee from Okemos, she was the 2023 Girls Junior Golfer of the Year. She ended up winning this event at 3 over par for a 2-day total, 147. She won the event by 9 shots. She is 16 years old. Mia Melendez finished in second place with a score of 156, followed by Jessica Jolly of Rockford, who finished at 158, good for third place. Sasha Patil, also of Okemos, won the GAM 15-under girls division, and she was also the junior player of the year in 2023, so both very good starts for Sasha and Elena. All right, finally, for the locals, U.S. Open qualifying at Marietta Country Club in Georgia. Dylan Mullaney from Michigan shot 73 to miss local qualifying, but we did have P.J. Maybank, who played in the Territory Golf and Country Club in Oklahoma, local qualifying. He shot 68, so he is on to the next round. We have a bunch of local qualifying over the next couple weeks, so we will keep you up to date if there's any Michigan guys playing in those events. All right. And finally, we have the Zurich Classic in Louisiana, the only team event of the PGA Tour schedule, which I think has actually become maybe a little bit of a fan favorite. I think people, whether it be fan favorite and player favorite, I think guys like playing in a team event, even if it's just one time a year. Some course info about TPC Louisiana. Pretty unchanged from previous years. Stock par 72, tips at 7,400 yards. Overseeded Bermuda greens that will get to about 12.5. Rough is not overseeded and is trimmed about 2 inches, so I expect some fairly low scores. I'm just trying to remember what the dang format is. Do you remember off the top of your head?
I do not.
Let me pull it up real quick, because I think they changed it here in the last.
Yeah, it's changed for sure in the last at least 2 years.
I think I got it right here. So the format will employ an alternating round of four ball and foursomes. Teams will begin with four ball format in round one and utilize it again in round three, while foursomes, commonly referred to as alternate shot, will be rounds two and four. Better ball rounds one and three, and alternate shot in rounds two and four. I would say some pretty good players in the field. Some newer players. We have Rory McIlroy playing with Shane Lowry. That is a new team. But then at the same time, there's also some teams that have played in this event before. Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay, who I feel like have kind of just become best friends, are playing again for what feels like quite a few years now in a row. I'm pulling up past champions real quick. Do you have the odd board right there?
I do. Yeah, while you're pulling that up, I will run through the odds board. So coming in at the favorite this week, the dynamic duo that you just mentioned, Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay, they are 4-1, the favorites coming into the weekend. Right behind them, the new pairing that you also mentioned, Shane Lowry, Rory McIlroy at 7-1. At 7.5-1, we have Will Zalatoris and Sahith Theegala. 11-1, Kurt Kitayama and Colin Morikawa. 20-1, Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin, the Canadian duo there. 25-1, we have both the pairing of Tom Hoagie and Maverick McNealy, as well as the pairing of Matt and Alex Fitzpatrick. So a couple of brothers playing together. We have another brother pairing right behind them at 30-1 with Rasmus Højgaard and Nikolai Højgaard. 30-1 as well, Corey Connors, Taylor Pendrith. 35-1, we have three different groupings, Joel Damon, Keith Mitchell, Tyson Alexander, and Billy Horschel, and then Bryce Garnett and Sepp Straka.
Who was Billy playing with?
Billy is playing with Tyson Alexander.
Interesting. That is just looking at past success on this golf course. Billy Horschel, I don't believe these were all on. I'm trying to see how long they've been at TPC Louisiana. I think it's been here for quite a long time. So I think Billy really likes this golf course. He won with Scott Piercy back in 2018. He also won as an individual back in 2013. So something to keep in mind. Adam Hadwin and Nick Taylor were runners up last year to Nick Hardy and Davis Riley. Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele won this event in 2022. And that's probably really all that can be taken from.
Billy Horschel had a second place in 2022 as well. He finished behind Cantlay and Schauffele with Sam Burns.
Yeah, and obviously he's playing well right now. He just won the Punta Corralis. So that is actually a name I don't hate. I could see a world where Will Zalatoris and Sahith Theegala play really well together. I think they're going to make a ton of birdies, just a boatload of birdies. Any names that really jump off the board to you?
I'm curious to see how Shane and Rory play. I think they have a lot of history of playing together. It's an easy pairing to pick, but it's one that is intriguing and probably a pairing that they needed to bring some kind of a little bit more excitement pre-tournament for this, because I certainly don't hate seeing a Ryder Cup, two Ryder Cup teammates playing together. I'm curious to see the Højgaard brothers, how well they do. I really like Nikolai Højgaard's game. I have a feeling he'll be doing a lot of the heavy lifting, but I feel like whenever you see a brother pairing, similar to Matt and Alex, probably just so much familiarity, comfortability playing with those, with your brother. So I'd be curious to see how they play this week. I thought for a minute there, I was going to have quite the pick with Colin Morikawa going into the weekend, ended up kind of falling off on Sunday. Still curious to see if he's kind of riding that wave or if that was just kind of a little bit of a flash there. Yeah, I think my dark pick, I'd like to see what the Højgaards do. I'm curious there.
Yeah.
What about you? You got a pairing? I could see you. I know your pairing. Tell me all about Corey Connors and Taylor Pendrith, Hunter.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go with that Canadian pairing, I don't think.
Wow.
I actually really like Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin, just solely because they are capable. They have done it before. If you can shoot a 63 in an alternate shot format, that is so incredibly good. That I feel like you're capable of quite literally anything at that point. I will not hold anything, say that you can't do anything, because I think that is such a low score that is who I actually really like this week. And then I was just reading Rob Bolton's comments here, and I'm trying to piece together what exactly this is. Oh, so let me just read this paragraph. Fan interest in relationships always varies wildly, and that's always part of the fun. But one of the more fascinating storylines is the connection between the 2022-2023 PGA Tour Rookie of the Year, Eric Cole, and one-time PGA Tour winner, Russ Cochran. The 65-year-old lefty is making his 600 career PGA Tour start and first in 11 years. Cochran's son, Reed, is Cole's caddy. So there's a little tidbit for you.
Interesting.
Apparently Cole thinks he's doing so well now. He's just doing a little freebies for his caddy.
Guess so.
what a life.
Gonna have a backpack all weekend.
Yeah. So I kind of chuckled at that. I do like the Fitzpatrick brothers. I think Matt's playing well. It just kind of depends if Alex is able to hold his end of the bargain. I don't love Connors or Pendrith. I'm worried about Connors having to make putts in an alternate format, alternate shot format. That's probably my big worry there. I don't know about Colin and Kurt Kitayama. Kitayama is very steady, but he also doesn't feel like he's been at the top of the leaderboard as much as what he was maybe a year ago. And then Colin is playing well. So that is one. If he can just play well for four rounds, we might be on something.
Yep.
But I wish there was, we've talked about this every time that this event comes around. I wish there was more team events. I just don't know how you do it properly. Because there was a time, I swear there was a time for this event where one player had to be inside the top 100, the other one player had to be outside the top 100. So I feel like you could really just stack this if you wanted to.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So, I wouldn't say this is my favorite event of the year. It feels, Peter always had a name for it. I can't remember what it was, but in his honor, I will not be able to like this tournament because it feels a little bit hit and giggle. It's a little bit of a hit. It's a little bit of a hit and giggle.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't disagree with it.
So, but it is our first, I would say, a little bit. We have a little bit of a break now. Zurich Classic, the CJ Cup, is a non-designated event this year, I believe. And then we have the Wells Fargo and the Myrtle Beach coming up on May 9th and 12th. So a small little blip in the calendar. All right. And finally, we get to play some golf this weekend. I'm
yes,
very excited.
We do.
We're playing the Grand Traverse Resort. We're playing the Wolverine at 9 a.m. on Sunday, followed by the Bear Sunday afternoon. I have never played the Bear. I don't think you've ever played the Bear, right?
No, I've only played the Wolverine.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think just Dallas, going with the usual crew that we go to Arcadia with. I just think we, I don't think it was really the price, because I probably would have still paid the price. It was maybe a little bit. When we first started doing this, I swear it was $75.
Yeah.
And now it's up to like 150 for the Bluffs and 100 for the South Course. And that's still, like, I think that's still a really good deal because it's still Arcadia, but the weather is so tricky out there that, like, you just, even though it's a good deal, the weather can just make it miserable.
Yeah. That's more so what it was for me. It's like, it was slightly the price, more so being that, not that the price was bad. It's just this time of the year, the weather's so unpredictable. So I would hate to just, if it was like sideways rain, like the 1 year we went, I'd be pretty bummed.
Yeah. And I just want to play new courses. I've never played the Bear.
Yeah.
So that was probably one of the biggest reasons I mentioned it. But I've also heard it is extremely challenging. Very hard golf course. It's a Bear.
Yes, sir.
But I think the Wolverine is also one of the easiest golf courses you'll ever play. So it's going to be a nice mix. I went to the range yesterday with JT, and I'm not sure if we made the right choice playing the Wolverine first, but I think we did. I think we'll be loosened up by that point. But those last like five holes on the Bear could be just brutal.
Oh, it's going to be a gauntlet.
Because I feel like we were getting pretty tuckered out last year at Arcadia towards the back nine on the South Course. I think Arcadia and the Wolverine, you couldn't find more contrasting golf courses. So I think that will help a little bit. But I'll be curious to see how we're doing back nine on Sunday.
Got to get our stamina back.
Yeah. Yeah, so it does feel like golf season is finally here. The weather looks like it's supposed to be pretty nice moving forward. Almost May 1st. Birchwood opens up this weekend. So we're going to try to play on Saturday and then Sunday. So pretty, pretty excited.
We're in it.
Yep, we are.
We're back.
We are.
So we'll boys are back.
We'll have a full breakdown on how miserable the Bear is next week.
And you got a new club to play around with.
Yeah. I don't know exactly. So it was tricky where those range balls have no dimples, and the wind, it was dead downwind. It was the range was even at a slant, and the wind was going perfectly at a slant. The ball wasn't leaving its target, but it had no ability to leave its target because of the wind situation. My big fear is that I have this right, I think my 4-iron is a 21 degree 4-iron. My 5-iron is 24 degrees. This new 5 hybrid I got to replace my 4-iron is 23 degrees. And it's still maybe potentially a little bit too hot for, I'm worried now that I have a gap between my 4-iron or my 5 hybrid and my 5-iron. It might be a little bit bigger than I'd like it to be, but we'll cross that because it just shoots right up in the air and it lands soft. Cause you hit the ball high. I don't hit the ball high. I can't hit the ball high.
Yeah. I play a higher ball flight.
So
yeah, I don't know. So I have the same kind of issue. I have a 4 hybrid and a 4 iron. I hit the 4 hybrid farther than I hit the 4 iron, but I guess for me at those distances, I mean, if I'm trying to hit something farther than that 4 hybrid, that means I'm trying to hit like 240, 250, 260. And at that point it's like probably on a par 5 and might not be the worst thing in the world to just hit 200 and get yourself a nice third looking shot. And so kind of the same problem, but at a longer distance. So it might not impact me quite as much.
Oh yeah. So I'm going to push hard on Sunday. I think we got to play it at 6,600 yards. That's one up from the back. The par threes are all really short. The longest par three from that tee box is like 185, I think. But the rest are really, that's where I get concerned if the par threes are long, but they don't seem like they are.
I think 66 is the perfect, is a great 66, 67. It's great.
So No, definitely looking forward to it. Anything else?
That's all I got.
All right. Well, we will talk to you all next week. Good luck at the Zurich Classic, and hopefully get to play some golf this weekend.
All right. Have a good weekend, everybody.
See ya.